Welcome to Kingsway's weekly podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
So why don't we welcome the one and only Alan Pearce.
Thank you. Yeah, that's what you have to do.
I have to stand at the back now.
You do. Okay, now, unfortunately, this group here, you might not see things because I'm in the way. So move that way a bit, if you can. Just move that way, Barney, just move that way a bit, and then you'll see things. Okay, I want to talk to you about your kingdom come. You might know that we've got a dream team going on in the church. The idea is that we dream about what does God want to do, where is he taking us, what's happening. And I just want to share a bit of the work that we've been doing about culture. And we're going to look at culture, our culture, look at what God's doing with us, looking about what he's doing in the world. But it's all to do with this one, your kingdom come. And look at that, I can control it from here. I'm excited with this little thing. £6 from Amazon. Anyway, here we go. Just a bit of history, because some of you haven't been with us for all that time. I mean, I've been in this church for 38 years, is it? Something like that. It's a long time. But really, our church started in an evangelical independent Methodist church. There was Ken and Sue Wilkes. There was Martin and Jill. There was Sue Skuse. And it just was a lovely place for the work of God starting. And then June came along. June and Brian. So June, you know, you just sat down, like, stand up, because we need to honour June. June and Brian came into Sale, and they heard God audibly say, start the church there in our small little church over on Glebelands Road. And through many trials, Kingsway was born, and we're Kingsway, all right? Through those many trials, we were born. And then June has always moved in an apostolic gifting over her life, and Brian with a wisdom gifting on his, and the two of them help establish and lead and form this church, which we're so, so grateful for. And we've always been apostolic as a church. We always have. And we'll go into that in a bit more detail. Again, through strong opposition, we held strong to the truth that there was neither male nor female, and that everybody was full of the Spirit of God and was significant, and somebody wasn't less than another. And it doesn't impact or affect us anymore. But really, in the early days, there was a real challenge by many other churches in this area about what we were doing. But we believe there's neither male nor female, and we see the Holy Spirit in you all, okay? We were always unique and significant. We've never been conformed to anything. We're very, very, very different. The lady who came up from Birmingham the other day, she came and spoke here. What was her name?
Emily Harland
came. And after a while, she said to Andy and Sharon, I don't know how to describe your church. I'm just going to call you the zoo, because I can't think of any other words to describe you. We have always been unique. Godfrey Birtle was here, and he said, it's significant what's happening here in this church. I go to many, and I don't see it anywhere like this. Whoa. We've always been family. That has been, just key to us. We are family. We have lived together, cried together, worked, saw God do the miraculous stuff together. We are family. And his presence has always, always led us. The dance group, you know, June getting that, go set up this dance group from out of that. Who was in the dance group? Just put your hands up. Look, we are the original people who are in the dance group. Well done, everybody. The Bosnians, gosh, you know, we brought Bosnian refugees over. We put them up in many places. June and Jackie Price, you know, convinced councils that they should give over homes for them to live in. It was just stunning what happened over that period. Kampala Christian Centre, we were the initiators of it. It now is the most stunning orphanage in Kampala that you could ever imagine. The president goes to it and says, how come? This is to Arnold. Arnold is the primary person who created KCC. He says to Arnold, how come I've got work, you know, Department of Works, I've got architects, I've got everything, and they can't do what you're doing? And he just looks up and says, I think I know someone. And that's the key. We know someone. We know someone who wants to do things. iDestiny is another one. I mean, you're here. We just thank you for coming. It is just wonderful, wonderful, wonderful that you're here. So that was a bit of history. And it's disappeared. Oh, well. Well, you only are able to have one slide. I'm resorting to manual Laura now, who can do it for me. Fortunately, the reason why I bought this was to have that. And that works, so we're all right. Our next slide. Can we get to the next slide? We're trying. Oh, you want me to try? I think we better rely on you. That one. This one. My son has just said it's rubbish. Oh, Laura, you're the best. You're the best. So what's happening now? And let's just talk about the new apostolic age. The word apostle was formed by the Romans, in fact. What used to happen was Rome would go into a country, conquer it, and then they would have, after they'd conquered a country, they would send in a person. And the job of this person was to make that country look like Rome. And he was called an apostle. So he would go into this land and he would make it, you know, the roads, Roman roads. He would make Roman buildings. He would get people to wear Roman clothes, Roman mosaics everywhere. The whole purpose was when the emperor would come to the new land, it would just look like Rome. And so the early Christians took that and said, okay, I'm going to take the phrase apostle, because what is it that we are called to do? The will to bring the will of God down, the kingdom of God down, so that it reflects here what it's like with our Father. And that's what we're called to do. Now, Chris Vallotton from Reading has written a new book called Heavy Rain. So it's worth reading. It's not heavy. You can read it. It's pretty good. But this lady, Marjorie Equist, made a comment from this book. And I think it's worth me reading it to you to try and open up what this apostolic age is. Why doesn't the church feel more like family? We're all looking for truth. I have only known some form of denominationalism. The trouble with denominationalism is it says in so many words, if your ideas don't look like mine, we can't play anymore. The church is in a massive overhaul, and it's already happening because we are desperately homesick for family. And mothers and fathers are stepping up to the occasion. This is what the new apostolic age looks like. Family, finally. Family is never at the mercy of anyone, not the devil and certainly not different ideas. Jesus really did take back the keys of hell, death, and gave the grave, and he handed them right over to his family, us. With the church reforming, being led by mothers and fathers, the whole world isn't safe from having hell loved out of it. Suddenly, we're the lethal force to re-inject peace, hope, where it belongs, and bringing the everybody back home. I'm brimming with excitement to see what God is going to do next. But my favourite part is how much he's letting us in on the plan. And we get to do it together. The new apostolic age is mothers and fathers and family. I think people are beginning to catch up with us. I'm serious. I think we've been in the, do they call it a petri jar? Where, you know, God's creating something. And he's been doing it with us for 30-odd years. And we've, you know, at times felt a little bit odd and strange and feeling like, why doesn't everybody sing happy birthday? It's like the normal thing you do, isn't it? If you're family. And, you know, please hear me. I'm not saying anything wrong against any other church. I'm just saying he's put it in us. And we're experiencing what people are now just beginning to write about, the new apostolic age. And we're experiencing it here. Mothers and fathers showing us the culture of heaven, enabling us to live in that way. Okay? Now, I've always loved company structures. You know, I was a civil engineer, project manager, used to have to create structures so that, you know, people would know who was in charge and who did what and when. And I loved doing it. So we've had a few changes in the way our church operates, and I thought, I'm going to draw out our new structure. And that'll be so helpful for you all, because you'll be able to look at it and you'll be able to understand how our church works. I thought, I'm going to use this brilliant brain that God's given me and create the structure. So next slide, please, Laura. Oh. sorry, wrong slide. I don't quite know how it got there. But I awfully feel that crocheting and knitting is taking over the world. It's everywhere I look at the moment. Anybody sat doing it now? Yes, over there, look. Next slide. I had an epiphany, right, drawing out our structure. And I drew this. I drew family. And I just said, this is our structure. This is what God's put in to enable us to function. And it's family. It's mums and dads who carry his culture and pass it on to his kids. And it's as simple as that. And that's why it was a bit frustrating for me, who likes to draw hierarchical structures, because that's what I'm used to within business. Because there's no hierarchical structure, is there, in a family? It's one of sharing, caring, serving, loving, blessing everybody around us, everybody important and significant. You see, the Holy Spirit continues to raise up spiritual fathers and mothers amongst us and pass on his culture. I mean, we've just seen one there in Timo, and of course, Ruth Hack. They were raised up in here. Some of you may not know. I mean, they came as a young student. Just they were getting engaged. And the Lord gave a prophetic word. He's to be our next youth leader. And he's now gone off and doing other stuff in Germany. Fantastic. Ben and Celia Dean, again raised up, off going to do, taking our culture. You know, Irvin and Sue, don't you think they're like a mum and dad as well? Don't you? I mean, it's stunning. I think it's just stunning that there they are, representing the culture of heaven and just bringing it to us. Oh. And you raise up, God's raising up more and more and more of us. I mean, Linda Mackay, she's been here for a while, goes off to Jordan, establishes that tremendous work in Jordan for Syrian refugees, and establishes the culture that she lived in here. her theological lecture that she's part of had been over and looked at it because it was so wonderful. He wanted to reproduce it. And that's why I say we're in this new apostolic age. We're not trying to get in it. We're living it. We're experiencing it now amongst us. Jane Howard said, call it a clan, call it a network, call it a tribe, call it a family. Whatever you call it, whoever you are, you need one. It's absolutely true. You need one. And that's why it reflects heaven. You've got Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I mean, I've told you that in the Hebrew and Aramaic, the Holy Spirit is she. Father, mother, son, family. Being reflected on earth, family. You're in a family. Oh. No longer denominationalism, where I am telling you this is what you have to believe, and if you don't believe it, then you've got to like separate. You don't do that in family, do you? You accommodate each other. You accept each other. You want each other because you're special. Oh, so we're no longer trying to make a denominational list. Now, there's the five key things, isn't there? You know, Jesus, virgin birth, crucified, raised from the dead. God sits at the right hand of God. You know, they're like, you don't question those. But the other stuff is just noise, to be honest with you. I'm sorry if it offends you. I've lived a Christian long enough to know that it seems to go in cycles about what's important. I do know that. Jesus, my Father, and the Holy Spirit, they're key. And he's creating family amongst us. Oh, it's so, so wonderful to see. Next slide, please. Try and talk to you about culture. This is you can understand, it's a greenhouse. Of course, culture is an environment where what you want to grow has the best chance of thriving. So in a greenhouse, you know, it's got the right amount of light, right amount of food, temperatures right, and you get wonderful tulips growing. It's marvellous. And so if you get the culture right, what you want to grow grows. Culture is the ideas, the customs, the art of a society that enables a society to thrive. John Abbott said, every man's ability may be strengthened or increased by culture. This is what God has done. There's a culture of heaven. And within that culture, all of your ability is increased. What is it, grace? Grace is the empowering presence of God that enables us to be all and do all that God wants us to be and do. If that's not an empowering culture, I don't know what it is. Culture is powerful stuff. And business is understanding how powerful culture is. Next slide. This is a company called Sappos. And it's a clothing company in America. And they wrote this statement. They said, our belief is that if you get the culture right, most of the other stuff like great customer service or building a great long-term brand or empowering passionate employees and customers will happen on its own. Now, if any of you have ever been in a business where the boss is critical or is unrewarding, you know how depressing it is to work in that culture. But if you've been in a business where the culture is one of positive reinforcement, of honouring you as an employee, wonderful things happen. And as a manager, I know what that's like. Buy them all an ice cream. They'll work for you, I don't know how long. It's a simple thing. If you're going to be a manager, buy them all an ice cream. They'll talk about it forever. Jack Welch, a business executive, said, our job is to provide a culture in which people can flourish and reach their dreams, in which they can be all they want to be. Oh, does that not describe what we do? I think it does. business are just catching on to it. It's a new thought in the executive business world, if you like. But we've been living it forever. It's called God's kingdom. All that he wants you to be. We turn over the page. I'm trying to draw Kingsway here in a picture. And Kingsway's community is a bit more fluid than this, but this is my attempt at drawing you all. You know, I am artistic. Everybody tells me every week that I'm artistic, and this is my art. Oh, this is my art coming out. So, it starts up here with what we ask for. Every day, doesn't it? Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. It wasn't a prayer that he gave us just to keep us occupied. You know, if you say this every day until I come back, you'll be happy. No, it has a purpose about it. Your kingdom come on earth, God. Your will be done here. In fact, it's written in the command. You're commanding it to be done. That's how it's written in the original. So what we have, quickly just summarize, you've got our prayer up here. Open heaven over us. There is always an open heaven. It opened and it never shut. Amen. When Jesus was being baptized, heaven opened, dove came down. You then look through scripture trying to find it when it closed, and it never did. And it's still open. It's still open. All right? Then prophetic words that have been given shape our destiny of our church. In here is our culture, and I'll talk about it in a minute. And down here, because I'm an engineer, it's the piles that go right down to the bedrock. They're called piles, Peter. And they go down to the bedrock. And these and the piles them. And these are our values and our beliefs, okay? And I haven't written them all here. Okay, these are just some of the key ones, okay? So let's just try and go through my little picture. So I've talked to you about an open heaven over us. Here is our building, all right? This is the building we're in. And you can see that the walls are open because it's not just for Sunday. It goes out and affects and impacts everything, okay? These values here work in any business. You don't have to think about this is church life. This is business as well. So let me start down here. These are values and beliefs that we hold as dear things. These are, you know, you take a bullet for these. These are just so important, okay? We live them. Love. You only got to hang around Sharon to realize love's important. It's the only thing she talks about is love. Love, love, love. It's the thing, isn't it? Love. Love. God is good. We have that wonderful phrase there. God is good. Good. All the time, God is good. There's that wonderful value that we hold here. Honor. We are all significant. Oh, just, you know, you weren't all here, but 15, 18 years ago, a lady was coming to preach, and she ask God for a word for us, ages and ages and ages and ages and ages, and God didn't give her anything. And she was thinking she's going to have to come and say, I've got nothing for you. The night before she was coming, he woke her up at 4 a.m. and said, go tell them they're all significant. She came in and says, it's my sermon. God says, you are significant. It changed our lives. We weren't this little thing in the Glebans Road that everybody thought was odd. We were significant. We were significant. So it's a value we hold incredibly dear to us. Every person is significant in the kingdom of God. Jesus did everything for us. Oh, and of course, as we've understood the grace message, that's becoming even more real in our lives. He has done everything. Everything. Everything was achieved on the cross. Presence. You know, I am with you. I've told you many times. Every time I pray, Jesus, he goes, I'm with you. Jesus, I'm with you. Jesus, I'm with you. I think he thinks I need to know this. I'm with you. And then revelation, nothing is impossible. Two things there, really. Revelation. Oh, revelation just changes you. An encounter with God changes your past, changes your future, and makes you happy today. It just is incredible what revelation does as he speaks to us. But nothing is impossible. I mean, that is something. It's true. Nothing is impossible. Oh, it's gone. Right. Okay. Let's talk about these now. This one here. Apostolic Worship Center. We had that prophetic word. That is who we are. We're not trying to become one. We are an apostolic worship center. It's called the prophet's reward. As we honor the prophet, that which the prophet spoke is enabled in our life. It's nothing to do with a worship band up here. It's nothing to do with releasing the best CDs or having the best lighting system for the group or the best artists or whatever. It's all part of it, but it's not it. We are the worship center. We are the people in this apostolic age. We are apostolic. We worship him. It's a place. It says we're going to have regional impact. And we do. But then over here, there's another prophetic word that came to us. Dancing to a different beat. Now, I'm just going to return a bit here. Are you all with me still? Yeah. Okay. Culture. When we started talking about culture, I wanted to change our culture. I could see all things that were not quite right. You know, a bit confusing having everything happening up here at the front and a bit disorganized. And I wanted to change our culture because I thought if we changed our culture, we'd get something better. But when I had that epiphany of drawing the structure and drawing a family, I thought, oh gosh, my father has been establishing a culture amongst us that enables the new apostolic age to occur, enables the family to be significant, enables mothers and fathers to be established that has an impact around this world. I will then choose now to honour the culture that's in the middle of us. And I started to say, okay, God, I'm honouring it. And then I looked at this prophetic word, we dance to a different beat. And I said, you've even told us we're going to be different. We have a different... Let me read the prophecy to you. This was given in 2001 by Steve Scroggs. We would be used to bring healing to many people. Healing for the wounded. What are Irving and Sue doing with our Sozo and the team of Sozo? Gosh, it's bringing healing to people. Let alone... You know, Tom here getting healed of that arthritis, let alone Sam, the pain out of his shoulder going, and all the other stuff that we're seeing. We are being used to bring healing. We would be like mamas and papas, mothers and fathers, all right? There would be a release of music that would draw the youth. There's a lot of you here who are young. It would be music that would be to a different beat, but it would be his heartbeat. And so the word to us is, we are going to look, feel different. It will be, so just embrace it. Just live with the joy of being different. Get hold of the, this is who I am. That's how, oh, gosh, I like it. Many young people will come to you. The church will be a place of spiritual adoption. A place where young people will come and find the unconditional love and acceptance that they have been longing for. Oh, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but you are graduate students to me are just like these young people coming and finding a place of home, let alone all the rest of us who have found a home here. And we call it home. It just feels like, ah, we've come home. So that was that prophetic word. And it made me go, we are different. I'm going to stop trying to make us something else. I'm going to embrace being different. And as soon as I did that, I started to realise we have a culture of mothers and fathers. We call that, Andy and Sherman, don't we? They're mum and dad of the church. We don't call them pastor. They're mum and dad of the church. Because we realised that there was something important about mothers and fathers in this apostolic age. June and Brian are our grandparents, aren't they? You know, we see them as our grandparents. Family is a culture. Family. Integrated with each other, family, part of the family. Children have the Holy Spirit. That's why Nick is doing this with the kids. Because we have seen, I don't know how many times, the prophetic come from our children. And even if I was to swap this phrase around to be the children in terms of you haven't known Jesus long, you're full of the Holy Spirit. And the life of God flows through you. Your fullness of God in you. Oh, it's just stunning. I'm not trying to make you have to do umpteen courses to get to wherever. I just look at you and I say, I want the gold that he put in you to flow out of you. That's what Andy and Sherman do, isn't it? What is it you got on your heart? Oh, we'll do that then. It's just, we want what's in you to come. Freedom of expression. It's something we value, that you are free to express yourself on a Sunday. The kids are free to express themselves. We think it's a lovely thing. Why? Because out of it comes that gold that's in you. Neither male nor female. Oh, just so important. So important. All of us can. All of us can. And the result of these key values that we are holding and living, and this culture that God is establishing amongst us, is that we grow God encounters. God encounters. If you weren't, you may weren't here last night. Oh, we had some of an encounter, didn't we? Oh, it was wonderful. Wonderful outpouring of God's Spirit. Prophetic words, healings. Oh, just stunning. God encounters. You know, these encounters range from, you know, it's like Rob walking into church and saying, I think I know Jesus now. You know, it's just like, okay, we'll have an encounter like that. Or, you know, favor on our lives. You know, Andy getting 2 extra hash browns. I mean, it's just a stunning favor. Provision. Oh, there's words of provision that have been over our life, you know. Love is an encounter. Acceptance is an encounter. Feeling like you're being accepted in a community. Oh, it's wonderful. Healing of our mind and of our, you know, on our whole bodies. Stunning. This is grace, the enabling presence of God that enables us to become what God wants us to be. And enjoy it. You know, fun in enjoying it. And no longer is church a place which is a bit drudgery. It's like a place where we can have a bit of fun. Like these two down here. You see, the walls of our house are open. And it pours out onto the street. It impacts your neighbour. It impacts your work. These values work in work. I use them at work. You know, love. If you don't love your employees, they feel it. But if you love them, and if you treat them as being significant, and if you believe that the impossible can happen in your business, you know, when you walk into a tough business meeting with very tough contractors, international contractors, if you don't believe the impossible can happen, you're going to be taken to the cleaners. You're going to believe that God can intervene and change it. So these are values that I've used all the time. I know that we use them. And if you could have the next slide. I didn't want this just to be theory. Because our values need behaviours. And we're learning to live, like behave in line with our values. Which of course enables the culture to form and develop and mature and enables the God encounters to become significant in every way, right? And so let's look at, love. If you don't get love, it's like base one, isn't it? Love. But from a place of rest, knowing that I am loved, knowing that I'm cared for, knowing that I'm special in the kingdom of God, knowing that I'm a son. To be honest with you, we could have had sonship on there. There's other values you can add. But knowing all that, I then see everyone with an intrinsic worth. Not only here in church, but every person I meet. Phil did a wonderful talk yesterday about inclusion of every person. Every person. Every person has a value. They're not worthless. Every person has a value. And we have the chance to reveal the kingdom's love to them. It's just marvelous. God is good. But if I believe this value, that God is good, the commitment is, I can dream big. What would it be like if you knew it was impossible to fail? And you've got God Almighty saying to you, dream. Jesus says, ask the Father in my name and he will give whatever you ask. If that's not an invitation to dream, I don't know what is. So out of that value that my God is good, I then choose to dream. I've got big dreams. I've got my big dream is that there'll be a healing revival in this church that impacts our nation. It'll just change our nation for healing. Andy expressed it yesterday. He said, what if every person who has a depressive illness was healed in here? It's possible on the cross. Yes. We want to start to see it happen, right? So I have a big dream like that. I have a dream that the bridge to Germany, which we've been prophesied over, functions wonderfully well. I don't know what it looks like, but it's going to function marvelously well. It's a big dream. We're going to see the revival that wants to come in Germany just really explode. And we're going to be part of that apostolic age of bringing in that life. And many of you here will be involved in seeing it happen. And we're going to reproduce this there over there. They don't know what's hit them. But Bill Johnson said you have to be wise in your dreams, because sometimes dreams that are out there take time. So build dreams that are more, you can achieve them. You can, like stepping stones. You can get this dream. You can get that. You can see that dream take place. So that you just keep your own heart happy. And I think it was such a wise word. When we believe in encouraging us to dream, everybody gets big dreams. But sometimes, over time, you can lose the enthusiasm, whatever, to hold on to them. And the other thing I've discovered is when you're prophetic, you can see a dream, you can speak, oh, I can see that. iDestiny, we're going to start, I didn't know it was iDestiny, we're going to start a school of ministry, prophetic word from this great prophet here. We're going to start a prophetic ministry. The next thought in my mind was, that's a load of nonsense, nobody wants to come. But people in your community believe you. And they go, that's a good idea. Let's start it then. And they did, and you all came. And I'm stunned. It's every day I think, oh God, it's just amazing. And over that, it was 8 years, that means like over 70 people come through us, taking back the values, the life that we have, back to their own countries. From Jordan to Norway to Germany to France, from America, taking back this new apostolic age that sits here amongst us. We are significant. John 13. In John 13, Jesus, it's just before he washes the disciples' feet. And when he washes the disciples, just before that, he washes the feet. It says, knowing that he had come from the Father and was going back, he took up apron and washed the feet. What was all that phrase about? Knowing that I'm significant. Knowing who I am. I am the Son of God. What is his first action? He serves. When you know who you are, there's nothing too low to do. You're not trying to become something anymore. You're just happy to bless somebody. Because you're significant. Because you are who you are. You're a son of God. You're a daughter of God. The anointing of God rests on your life. You just are willing to serve. So that's her behavior. Jesus did everything on the cross. What behavior does that bring? It brings that when circumstances are confusing, when things are difficult, when we don't quite see it happening, you trust. You trust him, Jesus, who is the one who has done everything for us and accomplished it on the cross, and we trust him that he is able to bring about what he wants to bring about. Presence, I am with you. What does behavior does that bring? Absolute confidence. Confidence. Confidence because he's with you. Who's with you? It's the Son of God who's with you. The Holy Spirit. Oh, with you. Confidence. Oh, gosh. And then nothing is impossible. That's a value we hold. You know, it's quite clear in scriptures, all things are possible. Alice in Wonderland. The little phrase there that Lewis Carroll wrote. If I want to see the impossible, I need to believe it's possible. You got that one? If I want to see the impossible, I need to believe it's possible. Because your brain will stop you if you don't think it's possible. And yet he says all things are possible to you. All things are. Oh, gosh. Oh, all things are. Therefore, I need to believe all things are possible. All things are possible. All things are. And I take risks. You see, as a person, I'm risk averse. I don't really like taking risks because sometimes it's risky. I don't like doing it. But to be honest with you, to live in a life and a kingdom and a culture where nothing is impossible, we all have to take risks. Every time you put your hand on somebody, you're taking a risk. Every time you stand up here to preach, taking a risk, I'm thinking, will they like what I'm saying? You know? Don't know, you're taking a risk. These are the values that we are carrying with us. And we are growing in these behaviors. And if you could just go back to the previous slide, if that's possible. There. And so those values, our foundation, and there are other values as well, but these are foundation, are enabling this culture that God is answering in our prayer, enabling it to function so that this happens. We grow God encounters. God encounters changes your life. Oh, it's gone. Maybe it's me pressing something. God encounters changes your life. It changes you. One touch from the King changes everything. It's not a nice song to sing. It is an absolute wonderful truth. One touch from our King changes everything. And he's the one who loves to touch. Oh. Okay. I've finished my talk. It was good, I think. Yeah, Mexican wave. And what I'm hoping is that you catch a bit of the dream team's thinking of what's happening amongst us and get all of it and say, yes, I'm going to live with this. Take the values. Use them in your work. Use them at home. put the behaviours into place, if you're like me, risk averse, start to become more risk taking, if you, you know, want to believe in dreams, start dreaming again. Tell people what you don't keep them inside. Tell people what your dreams are. Vicky's got a wonderful dream. I'm going to tell Vicky's dream. Vicky has 6 horses now. 6 horses. Her dream is, at some point, she'll be able to bring healing through these horses. She knows that there's some connection for people and horses that will bring life to people. But for that, she needs premises, she needs whatever. And you know, you think, okay, God, come on. We want to believe in this dream. And it's the same for you all. You have dreams. And the community is to help the dreams live. Do you see what I'm saying? So don't keep them inside. We keep them inside because they seem so big and ridiculous. You know, if I put them out there, everybody's going to think that this is daft. But you find when you put them out there, people go, oh, I'm going to stand with you with that dream. This is a dream I want to see happen. No, even it's even like in your business as well. You know, the dreams that you have for your business, for the work life you have, for what you're expecting, God's involved with it all. I'm sorry, I'm starting to preach again, sorry. Anyway, let's just honour him. Father, I thank you that you have created an incredible culture here. I thank you for all the apostolic mothers and fathers and for the way in which we have experienced family, and we honour it all. All of the freedom you've given us, all neither male nor female, that everybody's full of the Spirit, that you're here. We honour it and we say thank you. We honour you for the dreams you're putting in our heart as we believe you're good and that you're going to answer and it's going to come about. We just honour you, God. And we say, please, could we have some more? Because we love it so much. Amen.
We hope this message blessed you. If you're hungry for the more of God, if you want to be equipped to live the normal Christian life 24/7, see miracles, walk in healthy relationships, and discover Christ in you, then why don't you head over to www.idestiny.org.uk. iDestiny is Kingsway's 5-month full-time ministry and discipleship school, starting both in March and September every year. For more information on Kingsway Church, please visit www.kwcm.org. And for more information about iDestiny, please visit www.idestiny.org.uk. Have a great day.